Yes, guys, what's good? You're tuned into Mango Masala, Pi Radio South Asian Show. My name's Gaines. I'm here with Simran.
Hey, guys.
You got your nails done?
I did them myself. I don't believe in getting manicures anymore. Whatever happened to just regular nail polish?
So would you consider people getting the nails done as manicures?
Like gel, whatever.
Yeah.
Love it, just can't afford it. That's my only. Otherwise, go ahead, do it.
Yeah, my uncle literally got hers done today, but I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, I wish. If I had the money, I would. But you know what? This will do for the meantime.
Yeah. How are you, though?
My unemployment time might be coming to an end.
That's all
the info I'm giving. This is something I have worked on in my life, is just shutting my goddamn mouth some of the times, because I feel like so often I'm like yappa, everyone needs to know every little ounce of detail about my life. This is what I'm up to, this is what I've got going on, this is what I'm gonna do, this is what I have done. And then people, you'll see them maybe like a month, 2 months later, and they'll be like, oh, so what about so and so, and what about this, and what about that? And you have to explain, like, oh yeah, that didn't work out because of this, and this didn't happen because of this, and blah 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 blah. And it's like, you know what would have been better if I had just kept it shut 2 months ago.
Agree. Say less.
Real G's move in silence like lasagna.
I see. It took me a while to get that. I know I want lasagna. But no, I agree with what you're saying. But it's kind of sad, actually. This is literally going into therapy, but I sometimes won't allow myself to get overly happy about things, because I feel like I'm kind of just cursing it to actually end up. It's going to come to an end at some point.
But did things happen to make you like this, or have you always been like that?
Going into the full therapist mode right now. I feel like it is a learned thing, I think, because I can remember when I was younger, there were times when I would just have moments where I'm like fully, oh, this is really good and I'm really happy right now. But now it's almost like if I am in a happy place, I will actively ignore it, because I'm like, if I don't acknowledge it, then it's going to last longer.
Oh my God, that is deep.
But we don't have time to go into that right now.
That is deep.
Yeah, mic drop. But one thing that I did remind me of, actually, when you were going about yappa, 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 do you know the meme that's associated with?
Shanice.
Yeah, Shanice, your mouth is moving a lot like a rat. Yappa, 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 shut it, please. But what's really funny is there's a new Bollywood film out at the moment, and I think it's the title song of it is, it goes, L-O-V-E, yappa, yappa. And first of all, it's really funny because everyone thinks that it's saying, hello, Vicky, yappa, yappa. it literally sounds like they're saying that. They're literally chatting about that on Asian Network. But the thing that I find really funny about it is literally the yappa yappa bit. All I think about is that meme. Yeah. So I'm literally like, L-O-V-E, Shanice, your mouth is moving a lot like a rat. Yappa yappa yappa.
All I'm saying is, I've had 7 months voluntarily off work, guys. And just the prospect that could come to an end saddens me a great deal.
I mean, I think it would be weird if it didn't sadden you. I mean, obviously, I can imagine there's maybe bits of it that you're looking forward to, but
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. Having a career in something that I care about, having fresh money in my bank account is number one. And I suppose maybe the last, like, 4 or 5 weeks, it has been a bit like, oh, it's job time, girl. Oh, what if I don't get a job? Oh, I'm getting loads of TikToks of people that have applied for 500 plus jobs and they're like so stressed and they can't get a job and the job market's real tough right now. That's what I'm seeing a lot of. And that's really stressing me out. So at least that noise is gone.
Yeah, because I think even if, because I don't think you've decided what you're doing with this job yet, but even if you were to not end up taking it, at least you got that kind of reassurance that you applied for something and got offered it. So
I still got it like that.
Yeah.
Are you excited for your holiday?
I am, but it's, well, excited as I am, I wouldn't say I'm excited, to be fair. I think I'm like,
I wouldn't start bad mouthing it now.
Yeah, I'm not about to bad mouth it. I'm more just kind of like, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm just wary of the fact that it might be a bit stressful at times, because obviously it's like wedding in India, actually, and being there as part of one of the families, like, it's bound to be a bit hectic.
Is it like a wedding?
I think so. I know, like, the main bit of it is in a resort. So this is the thing, like, yeah. I'm hoping that I'll actually be able to, like, enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, rather than be running around, like... And I say that, I'm obviously aware that I'm not going to be, like, actively involved in any of the decision-making and that. Like, obviously I'm not. But I am more just kind of, like, being around that environment. Is like, can just some, the stress just kind of offloads onto you kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but I feel like if it's really well organized, you should be able to treat it like relaxing, like,
yeah,
you're not going to feel stressed out.
Is it? Are Asian weddings ever well organized? No. But no, it should be. It should be nice. But it's weird because obviously I've only been back on British soil for like not even 10 days now, and now I'm off again. So
jet set.
I know.
We used this with Halima.
I know. I literally am. I think I'm currently in the lead, aren't I? It's weird. Out of the three of us.
The holidays is here.
Yeah, so yeah. Far. Who would have thought?
Not, really, not me.
No, me neither. But yeah, I think we mentioned last week, obviously, I was in Miami for a week at the end of January, which was nice. It was nice. Very relaxing. So that was good. Weird to be in America at that time. Obviously, with it being that Trump's just come into power, and also with all of the flight stuff that was happening, that was really weird. Like, and especially really like flying weird. Around. Yeah.
Because I was in Prague, and even I was stressed out. Like, I was like, oh my God, a dangerous time to get on a plane right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But especially the fact that, like, it was all like happening, like, within America. Like, it was like, there was obviously the helicopter and
insane
plane crash in Washington, D.C.
Insane.
Then there was the, like, smaller aircraft crash in Philadelphia, and then there was also one in Alaska, and I was just like, what is going on? But thankfully I am here.
Yeah,
still, I still really don't like flying, but it's
how long's the flight? 7?
Which one?
To Miami.
I think if you go from London, then I want to say it's 8 hours, but I went from Manchester, so I think it was like around 8 hours to Atlanta, and then another 2 hours down. So
damn.
Yeah.
But this, I was going to ask you, like, the way that I think about America, and this is kind of based off truth as well from like, my very short, brief visit a few years ago to New York, I remember driving toward the city, and there's just like billboards everywhere, and they're all political. Like, they were all just like, some of them were like maybe like pharmaceutical companies and like big things, but not like here where you get like, I don't know, an Apple or Samsung advert. Like, it was all like quite politically charged stuff, if not actual politicians saying like a policy of theirs.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean. I think I did see not necessarily billboards, but quite a few like smaller posters just around, dotted around, more than you would see in the UK. Because I think, but then I suppose, have they just had the, I don't know how the election entirely works. I don't know whether there has recently been more local elections. I don't know. But
I feel like here you get like, it's just like a red thing, and it will say like vote Labour, like not a big fat picture of Keir Starmer's face with like full sentences of what he wants to enact.
Yeah, definitely not anything with what they want to enact. I just think when it's the actual local elections, I do see pictures of like the actual people. Like,
maybe I feel like, I don't know, but yeah, I don't know, I don't know what it is about the way I feel about America. Like, I just feel like everywhere you go, like, someone's gonna strike up a conversation with you about like Trump.
I mean, to be fair, yeah, I did have, because I had conversations with some of my uncle's friends, and it did go on to that, but I don't know whether I can't remember whether it was them or me. I feel like it wouldn't have been me, because like, why would I start talking about that? Like, I wouldn't want to talk about that with American people. But going back to what you were saying about the adverts, like, I think one thing I did notice was that there was a lot more, everything is so commercialized and so much an embodiment of capitalism. And I think the biggest example of that I
terrifying.
Saw, yeah, it was, it felt very dystopian, but I think the biggest example of that was when I went to a basketball game. So my uncle actually lives opposite the Miami Heat Stadium.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so, and he got like free tickets because he basically donates blood. So he literally got free tickets for us. I was like, yeah, sure. And honestly, when he first said it, I was kind of a bit like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because I was going on this holiday to relax. And I was kind of like, I'm not really a sporty person. But it was actually, I actually quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, that is cool.
And I think, yeah, it was a cool experience. I think also basketball is so much more fast-paced than football.
Yeah.
I think a lot more can happen, kind of thing. And it's a lot easier to kind of, I think easier to understand what's going on as well. But the thing that really stood out to me was just the level of spectacle it was. I think the biggest sporting event I'd say in America that everyone looks over to is obviously the Super Bowl, which has also just happened. Side note.
I want to talk about.
Yeah, we'll end up talking about Kendricks in a bit. But I thought that was just the Super Bowl. I thought, okay, this is so extra, but this is just the Super Bowl. But no, it's everything. So I was at this random Miami Heat game on the home ground.
Was it like any kind of important game?
I don't think it was important. It was just like a regular league game, which apparently they have like around 80 games in a year, which is a lot when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, compared to football, I'm pretty sure it's not as much with football. But it was just that it wasn't an important game that I was aware of anyway. And first of all, everyone was so into it. First of all, you have the whole spectacle of like the national anthem, like at the beginning, even though obviously it's like, they do that in international games, which I suppose makes more sense maybe because it's like countries. This was literally just Miami versus Orlando. And yet there was like proper patriotism at the beginning. I was like, right, okay. And then they actually started the game. And it was just these little things. So in the center of the court, above where the people were playing, there's like a four-sided advert billboard thing, which is constantly changing. So they've got the constant sponsors and ads there. Then you've got the fact that the music that's playing, like, you know, like during football, all you'll be able to hear really is like chants during it. I mean, that's what I imagine. I've never actually been to like a British football game.
Oh,
yeah, I've been.
I'm an expert, so.
But like, I think at British football games, they play like playlists before, and then once it actually starts, it's just chants, right?
Yeah, they were playing Fiend.
Yeah, literally. Which that's the most random that we'll get. But then once it starts, it's pretty much just chance. But with this, it was like, yeah, the patriotism at the beginning, then some like cheerleading performance, like massive, like,
oh my god, that's actually real.
Yeah, like full on real. It's maybe less cheerleading and more like just dancing, but there was that. Then the game actually starts, but the way it starts isn't that they like walk out like together as a team. It's that the first five players, they like announce the names and then they run out and it's like, yay, like this person's on the screen, like this person's on the pitch, like, and they're also on the screen. It's like this person is playing. And also the fact that they only announce the people coming on for the home ground. So they only announced the Miami players and then they didn't say anything for the Orlando people. It was just, they just came on. It's like, right.
Bit muggy that.
I know. And then it starts and it's just the difference between when, depending on who has the ball, when the home people had the ball, the court just went silent. So it's like, it's almost like to let them concentrate. You know what I mean? Like, and actually let them score and like do whatever. Then when the opposition has the ball, everyone's making noise to try and distract. Like, it's like, especially when they have free throws, trying to distract them. They play music as well. Like, the people at the stadium play blast music at when they've got the ball to try and, like, put them up.
That's crazy.
The most crazy thing, though, right, was whenever, because you know with basketball, they have, like, penalties a lot. So they'll get, like, a free throw or two free throws to try and, like, add more points or whatever. And whenever the opposition got a free throw, there was on this sign on one of the billboards, it came up with, they obviously have this sponsorship deal with Chick-fil-A, and it was like encouraging everyone to make noise, like literally saying make noise to distract them, and saying that if the crowd manages to get the opposition team to miss 2-3 throws in a go, then everyone can go to Chick-fil-A and get a free burger. Like, literally saying, like, this is your incentive to try and do it. Like, it didn't happen, but I was literally like, what is going on?
Like, what?
So it's clearly like just a sponsorship thing, isn't it? Because I can't see what Chick-fil-A are getting out of it. It must just be so that their name appears on the screen all the time. Because otherwise, if it happens, they have to give away all these free burgers.
I just don't understand how anyone can win a game if they're not in their own arena.
Exactly. But that's the thing. Like, it was still like quite a close game. So I was like, you know what? Actually,
you have to get so good at it.
Yeah, but I was also like, you know what? If it wasn't on home ground, maybe they wouldn't have won, because I do feel like you have an advantage. Like,
but then you say like there's like home advantage, but that's
exactly this is the thing I've heard of, the term home court advantage, and I was like, this is what they're talking about. Like, whenever they hear about
it, I will say like the only parallel I can draw, right? This is probably quite stupid of me for thinking this, but I didn't really have any other clarification. But when I went to the football game, I thought the crowd was split 50-50 for each team. I just don't know why. I never really gave it much thought. I thought it was a whole side of the stadium would be one team and the whole other side the other team, right? I didn't realise it's like a tiny corner in one side of the stadium that belongs to the non-home team.
Yeah.
I was like... Oh, it's like a tiny little, like, few rows, like a corner of the stadium that belonged to the other team. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
I feel like maybe for more big scale games, maybe it would be more even. Like, say if it was a final, I want to say. Surely.
Then if it's a final, it would, sometimes it'd be somewhere like Wembley, isn't
it?
Yeah,
like
it's
it
not
won't
really
be
like
at the home. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, I was shocked. But then I suppose that's kind of the English equivalent, but that's still nowhere near as bad. And I feel like at English football games, you can hear it on the TV, like people are screaming the whole time.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like people, yeah, you just hear that, the general jeering kind of thing. But it honestly was so different to that.
The silence is crazy because English football could never.
Like, obviously, it wasn't like a pin drop silence, but it was like enough that it was. I was like noticing that every time they had the ball, it was just... Yeah,
but I do like American sports is on a whole other level. Like when I lived with like these American girls in uni, they would tell me that like, so you know, in college they have like D1, 2, 3, I think, are the levels of like
division.
Your like specialism of like how good you are. So like if you're D1, it's really good.
It's like sports, like first team, second team kind of.
Yeah, it's like the level before you go pro, essentially. Like if you're like D1 in American football, you're like insane, right? For like college games, they have stadiums on the college campus, basically the size of our football stadiums here. Because obviously America's huge and they do everything so big. So they have like these massive capacity like stadiums for college football. And like she's like, they were saying like the whole town will come out and watch a game. When they'd have like an opposing like team come in and play like a big game, it will be packed out. They have sponsors, they have adverts, they've got cheerleaders, they've got the whole shebang.
It's mad.
Mad. This is for like 20-year-olds or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I'm pretty sure I've heard that they've started actually paying like college sports players.
Isn't it Shakari Richardson? Didn't she just come out of college and she was getting like sponsored in track?
I'm not sure. I thought she was a bit older, but maybe, I don't know.
But when she was in, like when she was that age?
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, like all of them, they come out of like college with sponsorships. It's ridiculous. Slay for them, but crazy.
Yeah. It does just feel, because I think, when I'm not in America, I just think of it maybe as like a bigger UK with a different accent, because it's like just like West, you know what I mean? It's like example of the largely white Western world kind of thing. But when you go there, it's actually like, whoa, this is a different country. And also the fact as well that obviously it kind of is like 50 different countries, really. Like, the size of it.
I mean, they have everything. They have every climate you can think of. They have every natural disaster, like, threat that you can think of.
Literally, my uncle travels for his work, and he came back on the day that I arrived. And Miami, actually, it was the first time I'd been in January, and it wasn't cold, but it was the first time that I was like, oh, okay, actually, this isn't, like, boiling right now. But still, like, warmer than here. And he came and he had, like, a full-on coat. And he was like, yeah, I've just come from, I think it was Utah. Or, like, as you know, maybe, like, Tallahassee or something like that. Ohio. Basically, somewhere where it was, like, in the minuses. And I was just like, this is actually mad.
Well, you can go skiing in America, but then you've also got desert.
I think it's too big. It's
a wild, wild, wild country. It does not make any sense to me.
No.
Sorry, Americans.
On the topic of Americans and sport, then, go on, thoughts on Kendrick Lamar's performance.
It sounds hard. It's hard not to say anything without obviously acknowledging the allegations that were made against Drake. And I'm not saying that I'm not taking this seriously, because I absolutely am. But I have been a long-time Drake fan. And I just feel like everyone that hates him is on the internet, is very chronically online, whereas in the real world, everyone still loves him.
So what does that have to do with the performance, then?
Because he got the halftime show because he's blown up because of a diss track against Drake.
You don't think he would have got it without that?
Absolutely not. He was not on track. Like, he was not, obviously he's huge, he's always been a huge artist, but he wasn't as relevant in the last year. He was not Super Bowl halftime show relevant. And I just think, like, it's kind of embarrassing. Like, you had to, like, take a diss track to the halftime show. Like, you couldn't have just done, like, your actual bangers. He wanted to make, like, a political statement. He has, like, a whole discography worth of political statements. But he wanted to do Drake.
Yeah, but then I suppose, like, he was realistically, if that is his biggest song from the past year, he was always going to do that, right?
But it's a diss track. Like, it's not even to me, that's not a real song. I don't understand why it gets bumped in, like, clubs and stuff.
I don't know. To me, it was more just kind of weird. Like, a similar thing to the Grammys when they played it and everyone was kind of dancing along to it. When it's just, it's weird given what the allegations are.
But we've said this. Like, when people are bopping along A minor, like, you know what you're saying. You're literally saying it. It's not funny, and we've said it on the show.
It's either do you believe it, in which case is it really?
Well, I don't know what I believe right now.
No, but like, the people that are, like, bopping along to it, I'm like, do you believe it? In which case, if you do, then why are you singing like happily along to it? And if you don't believe it, then why are you saying it? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't even think it's a good enough song. I just don't think, like, Kendrick Lamar is never going to be as famous as Drake. And the people that are, like, loving this whole thing against Drake, they're just so chronically online. They need to go outside and touch grass.
Fair. I mean, I think we've said before, like, my personal stance on Drake is just that I just feel like there's been multiple instances where he's kind of shown himself to not be an overly nice person, I would say. But, I mean, that's just... But then I'm also wary of the fact that I'm basing that on my perception. I mean, I don't know him. Like, it's only what I hear and, like, examples of what I see. For all these bad examples that I see, there might be good examples that I'm missing. But, like, yeah.
Yeah, I just think he's kind of harmless. Obviously, allegations aside, we don't know if that's true or not. But, like, other than that, like, I just feel like he's not that done anything that bad. Like, I don't get it, because he's on tour, he's selling out stadiums still, everyone's loving him, he's dropping a song, people can't wait for it, so he's actually not lost any clout. There's only a very small group of people who are just very loud about disliking him right now, and they're all Kendrick Lamar fans, and this is coming from someone who has loved Kendrick Lamar for, like, over a decade.
I don't know,
I think it's kind of embarrassing that he needed to get up on the Super Bowl halftime stage and do all this when he's literally in Australia and couldn't care less.
Yeah, I was thinking this, like, does Drake actually care?
Clearly not. But then it's messed up, because I feel like this is the same instance where, God forbid, like, something happened to Drake, or he was, like, really, like, vulnerable and open, and say it really got him down and he was open, but people would be like, oh my God, no, this is so sad, like, this is so devastating and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, you were the ones that were clowning him. Still a real person at the end of the day.
In defense of Drake.
Okay, I don't know what my stance is, but I just don't really agree. Like, and then also Serena Williams was there, crip walking on stage, which, cool, I don't really care, but did she used to go out with Drake? I don't really know the lore behind this whole thing, but all I know is I think they were dating at one point.
Yeah, I didn't know until she was there, and then people were like, I think it was just rumored that they went out. I don't think it was ever actually confirmed.
Oh.
But then I'm also kind of like, surely she must have had some incentive to be there. So.
Yeah. And then also back on America, I heard that this year they like, I think they charged like something stupid, like nearly like $10 million for like a 30-second segment in the adverts, right? And then they increased the amount of ads that there was going to be this year compared to last year. So at some points they would literally stop the football game to play an ad, like for an ad break, and then resume it in real time after the ad was done.
Smart.
Simulation. And another thing, I also saw online that, I don't know how true this is, I literally saw like one post, but when they showed Trump in real life, apparently everyone was booing, and in international coverage of the Super Bowl, you can hear the boos, but on American TV, they dubbed it over with cheers, which isn't the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, if that was true, it wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
I realised as well, something else about America that we wanted to talk about was the food. So going back to when I was there, overly, I was disappointed. Don't get me wrong, I've been impressed in the past in that portion size-wise. Obviously, we know America like to do it big or go home. And I think that food is an example of that, particularly in did you ever go to the Cheesecake Factory?
No, I went in Dubai, though.
If you go, I don't know what's like in Dubai, but in America, like, the portion sizes are, like, ridiculous. Like, they're massive.
Yeah, I've seen, like, videos of people, like, ordering food from there, and the, like, one dish is, like, 1,500 calories, maybe even, like, 2,000 calories.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like,
it's how can you sell a meal that is a full day's worth of calories? Did you go?
Not this time. This is what I mean, though. I've been before, and it was enjoyable to go to there and know that, like, I'm gonna enjoy it. Because it is decent food. Yeah, it's decent food as well, so, like, it was nice. And I will say as well that my favourite restaurant that I've been to in America is Shake Shack. I really enjoyed it when I went there. And then, obviously, they've got it here in the south. Slowly expanded up north. They've got one in Birmingham now. It's not as good here, but it's still decent, I find.
Shake Shack is cancelled.
Why?
Because I was so excited to go there when I was 18 years old in New York, and they found a fly in my burger.
Okay, well, I'm going to choose to ignore that. That's a New York problem.
There was literally a whole fly in my burger.
Well, did you get a refund?
Yeah, they gave me a $20 voucher.
I would have asked for more.
I was 18 and polite.
British.
I'm British.
Fair. But no, I do really like Shake Shack, regardless of the flies. Extra protein.
It was my birthday.
Protein.
I was so excited to eat it. And do you know what the worst part is? I asked my burger without tomatoes. The fly was sat on a tomato on my burger.
Actually, that is something that I've thought about recently. I saw like a picture when I was in Leeds, and there was a massive picture of like a burger, like an ad, and there was a tomato in it, and it made me realize how strongly I feel about the fact that I'm a big tomato lover, right? Like I've always been like a big tomato lover, but they don't belong in burgers.
Good.
Like, I really feel strongly about that. I just feel like, especially how it's always a subsection, right? Like, it's like a full cut down, and it's like, it's all like stalky and stuff, and I'm just like, no, it doesn't belong there. Like, it doesn't. Like, pickles, I'm a yes. Cheese, I'm a yes. Bit of lettuce, sure. But tomatoes, no.
We are in agreement.
Good. Flies, no as well.
Flies, I'm going to have to pass.
Yeah. But yeah, tomatoes, it's just, I just always, like I say, I'll pick them out and I'll eat them like by themselves, but I just don't feel like they belong actually in burgers. Ran over.
Riveting.
But, yeah, I know. But I was going to say, Shake Shack I really enjoyed. But aside from that, there were multiple places this time when I went there that I think are more big in America. I think them being Raising Cane's.
Yes.
And
Chick-fil-A,
yes. I went to both of those, and both of them, I was just like, this is actually so mid. Like, what is this?
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe I ordered the wrong thing. Mianka said that I didn't order enough Chick-fil-A sauce, so that was the issue. Because
I think the Raising Cane's looks so mid. I think that sauce is the only redeeming factor. That's what I've seen online. Like, they've got this, like, pickle, spiced mayo or whatever.
But that's the issue, is that that's the only sauce they have.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was literally there, like, can I not get any other sauce? Like, you literally have to get that sauce. And it's, like, the selection that you can get is so small. And it's, like, the actual, like, chicken tenders were just so, like... Like, even, like, I think, like, KFC here, like, at least it's got a bit of something to it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, they just were just felt very unseasoned, personally.
And then what about Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A as well, like, I got, like, a burger, and I don't know whether I ordered it wrong, but it was literally just, like, bread and chicken. Like, they didn't put anything in it.
Was it, like, a sandwich that they call it there?
Yeah, but I was just like, I don't know. But then it was like, again, it was like the chicken itself was just a bit like, it was nice, but it wasn't like...
Mm.
Yeah, and I think I was just a bit like... And also, I've had Popeyes here, which is obviously an American thing. And with that, it was the same thing. Like, it was just very plain. I'm just like, I feel like we're sold a dream about the American dream about what their fast food is going to be like. And ultimately, apart from Shake Shack, I haven't actually enjoyed any American.
I just see so many influencers and they're all sitting in their car for some reason with a massive tray of like chicken, burgers, whatever. And they've got like a cup of sauce and they're like dipping it and then and just like, it's all crazy. And then they look like they're loving it.
That's one thing as well, the drinks, like, obviously ridiculously big. No, they're so, because they're so big, I think they just stay there. Like, they literally, the drinks just stay in your car because they're so big. They
no, I mean the people doing the mukbangs in their car.
Oh yeah, probably because they don't want to video themselves in public. It's fair enough. I wouldn't want to do that.
But yeah, no, the drinks, I'm kind of with that. I feel like we should do that here. Because I'm sick of paying like £3.50 for a medium and it's like that big.
It's fair, but it's for me, it's really inconvenient to carry around.
Oh, I love an obnoxious drink. So I know obviously everyone in your life sent you a request for what to get. Guys, my personal request to Carlos was the peanut butter M&Ms. I think they slap. I've not had them for 7 years, so they might not slap. And according to Mayanka, they're all right.
Yeah, they were like nothing to write home about.
I remember them being insanely good, so we shall see in a few weeks' time when I retrieve them.
Got the sole incentive to come in now to receive free M&Ms.
But that was my request, and my question was, what are other requests that you got? Like, what is the like consensus that people want from America from here?
Honestly, the main, I will say, fad at the moment is Trader Joe's.
Oh, but fresh groceries.
Well, this is the thing. I didn't really know what it was, but my sisters were keen on it, and then my aunt has obviously seen on TikTok about it. So Trader Joe's, it is basically a grocery store, which I didn't know whether it was something more, but I literally walked in and I was like, right, this literally is just a grocery store. But first of all, the main things that everyone wants are the tote bags from there. So I got them.
Merch.
Yeah, basically that's it.
Grocery store.
They are decent. Merch. They are decent tote bags, but I don't really.
You see American people walking around with tote bags that say Sainsbury's on them. Could you imagine?
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, Rihanna, clearly. I bet a lot of people went and got Rihanna. You know, when Rihanna was living in the UK and people figured it out because there was a picture of her flat and there was a Sainsbury's for Life bag in it.
That's so funny.
I reckon that probably caused the craze of people like wanting iconic Sainsbury's bags.
Iconic.
But yeah, so there was them, and then also just a whole lot of other stuff from TikTok that my anchor had seen from Trader Joe's, a couple things from Sephora for my sister. That was it.
I was thinking, what can I get from a Sephora? But then there's no point now because we have it here.
Yeah, I was a bit confused about why they wanted me to go. But yeah.
I wonder if there is other stuff that you can't get. There's like Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, and then they have Erewhon, which is like just stupidly expensive. That's where Hailey Bieber or maybe Gigi Hadid or something, they get like a $31 smoothie from there.
Are we done with America and its consumerism now?
Yes, we are. Right. I just wanted to know what goodies everyone wanted.
The underwhelming bags. That's it. Just tote.
Groceries. Or Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Sainsbury's bags for life. Bags for life.
Dear me. But you know what's mad? The bags are actually quite big, so they actually did take up quite a lot of space in my suitcase. Anyway, we've ranted on about America for half an hour. We've got to do a couple of more serious things before we finish. This first one was actually something to do with Bad Vibes Island, which I saw and I just thought it was quite interesting. So, have you seen about the female footballer, Sam Kerr? She plays for Chelsea. She's actually from Australia and she was in court recently. So basically, there was an incident where she was alleged to have been abusive and insulting towards police officers after being taken there following accusations of acting inappropriately in a taxi. I believe there were some accusations of her like not paying or causing some damage to it or something like that. So basically she was taken to a police station, and then there's video of like police camera footage of basically, I think there's some kind of argument going on between her and the police officer, and she says that the police officers were antagonizing her and like just constantly going in. For context as well, I think she is from non-white background. Yeah, she was like, oh, the police officers were antagonizing me. And basically in this video footage, there's a point where she goes like, oh, you're stupid and white. This whole thing has then gone to court over basically whether that can be deemed as being like a racial offense. Essentially, she's been found not guilty of causing racially aggravated harassment. I just found it quite interesting because, I mean, I for one agree with the outcome of this based on the footage that I've seen.
I agree with the outcome in terms of the fact that I don't think the comment was offensive in the same way that I think if someone called me stupid and brown, I wouldn't say that was racist. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think it's not a very hurtful comment.
For me, it's kind of, I think it's all to do with the context, right? For example, I think if someone called you stupid and brown,
I'd be like, what the hell? But
yeah, no, but I also do think that depending on the context, that probably does have racial undertones. The fact is, if what she's saying is true, in that she deemed herself to have been being antagonized by the police to an unfair amount as a non-white person by a white police officer, then given the full context behind everything of obviously we live in a non-equal society where white privilege exists, police injustice exists, and we know that the UK in particular has a big problem with this and institutional racism, then ultimately her comment is kind of valid in a sense. Like, if he is acting in a way that she deems to be abusing his power as a white man and is upholding the injustice and power dynamics that are created by that, then ultimately it's kind of valid what she's saying. But it's just hard because, like you said, if someone switches in a different race into that, then ultimately it automatically becomes like, well, no, that is racially offensive because a lot of the time, when you get the example before being called stupid and brown, or if someone says stupid, black, whatever, ultimately, nine times out of ten, the reason why they're saying that is purely to do with the fact that they see someone of that race as being inferior. Whereas her saying that to the police officer is a comment on, her comment is one on racial inequality.
I think it's because the comment, to me at least, is so menial. Like, it's dumb, like, stupid and white. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's how I'm seeing it. But obviously when you say it like that, like, it makes a lot more sense. And is that what the evidence was brought in court?
Yeah, like the prosecutors in the trial actually asked the jury, would their perceptions be different if she'd said stupid and black? But clearly the outcome is that the jury believed that this didn't amount to racially aggravated assault.
I mean, I'm not saying that anything that she did, like abusing the taxi driver, any of that was okay because of the outcome of this.
Yeah, this is the thing, like it's a weird one because it's like, if she did do those things to the taxi driver, then obviously that can't be condoned. But her, if we're just isolating her one comment towards the police officer here, if the police officer was acting in that way towards her, ultimately, like, I think the main point here is basically white and any other race, it's not the same. When she is making that comment about the police officer being white, she is referencing racial inequality within policing and the way that also white privilege and white supremacy as well is upheld through the current policing system. I mean, obviously, it kind of makes sense. The police system was literally created during a time in which white supremacy was basically accepted by a large people. Obviously, that same institution being around now, if it hasn't been significantly reformed, if not abolished and rethought out, obviously, the same problems are going to be there. Whereas, if someone is being called stupid black, stupid brown, whatever, the comments aren't going to be about the power dynamics at play there because the power dynamics don't exist. So unless there is some other kind of context which you'd be clutching at straws at, ultimately that is associated solely with the person's skin colour and nothing else. And to me, it's just, I hope that that's the decision, that's how the jury kind of came to the decision. And what I hope doesn't happen is that this case is then used as an example in the future for other instances that actually do involve racially aggravated assault to be like, well, she didn't get charged for calling the police officer stupid and white, so why should I be charged for saying blah blah blah? You know what I mean?
I feel like let's just take it as a win, then hope for the best.
Fingers crossed. But yeah, for me, it was just interesting to see that the outcome of it was that. Another thing actually that I wanted to speak about, which is something that Halima pointed out, was actually something that's going on in India and has been going on for a number of years. And it's called bulldozer justice. And what this refers to is the practice of demolishing Muslim-owned homes, shops, and religious sites. For context, India has actually brought in legislation within the past year, actually. It was November 2024. There was a Supreme Court ban on this idea of bulldozer justice, so the demolition of Muslim-owned properties. However, it's still continuing, so clearly this ban hasn't actually had the outcome desired. Just this month, in 8 days in Gujarat, 350 Muslim homes were demolished. The reasoning behind why they're doing this, they're claiming to be clearing illegal constructions. But what you'll find in a lot of the cases is that these are actually people's homes, livelihoods, religious places that have been around for a long time. And also, it's been found that this practice of bulldozer justice is disproportionately affecting Muslims, and it's argued that this is being used as a form of collective punishment. It's actually been going on for 30 years, since like the 90s. In fact, there's literally, the chief minister has been labelled as Bulldozer Baba by the media because he's renowned. This is in UP. He's been renowned for this practice for several years. Well, it's interesting actually how it has intensified since 2020. I think a particularly bad period of it what happened in 2022, and that was in light of communal violence following a Hindu festival. Saffron-clad Hindu men armed with swords, sticks, and pistols marched through Muslim areas, escalating communal tensions.
But that doesn't sound very, like, government-ordained operation. That just seems like intra-community tension.
They found also that a number of the local authorities that are actually endorsing this are largely run by the BJP.
I mean, this is kind of similar to when we were talking about the desecration of the mosque.
Yeah.
And then how you have like these paramilitarized groups, right wing as well, that like largely also BJP endorsed, going and taking it into their own hands.
Yeah, no, it is. It's kind of like, oh, it's not us, but it's like, if you want to do that, then go ahead and do it, but we won't stop. Because this is the thing. So obviously, that back in 2022, there was the Hindu festival, and Hindus got a bit too excited, started marching through Muslim areas with these weapons. Communal violence escalated. The next day, authorities used bulldozers to demolish around 50 properties, most of them belonging to Muslims who were accused of instigating said violence. In fact, Amnesty International actually did a report on this period and found that between April and June 2022, there were 128 demolitions affecting over 600 people.
I'd never heard of a place where you could commit a crime, you could be like whatever, violent towards anyone, but your punishment is that your house gets demolished without saying that obviously a violation of human rights, but there is no right to a fair trial. There's none of that.
This is the thing as well. It's like,
just the strangest punishment ever.
If the Supreme Court of India has banned bulldozer injustice and it's still happening, then what more can be done? You know, you've got the literal highest court in the land is actually banning it, and yet it's still happening in places actually run by the ruling party as well. So,
but then you need to look at when the people that are owning the bulldozers obviously need to be looked into and who they're working for.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen reports as well that actually it's British companies supplying these bulldozers. Yeah, so just it's horrific as well. Like, Halima sent this clip, and it was just so sad. Like, it literally opens with this like elderly man crying, and it's just so like, it is literally a demolition site. They literally bulldozed these houses down.
It's like, what are you supposed to do?
Again, this whole idea of it being, oh, it's due to illegal construction. But if it's someone's home, then clearly it's been there for a long time. Like, what makes it illegal? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like these like people that built their homes on land like in the last year that aren't meant to be there.
Yeah. Like, crazy, I've never heard of this. But I'm sure it's like a widespread thing and obviously affects so many people.
Oh yeah, it's been happening since the 90s. Enough for, like I said, this person to literally be renowned for endorsing that. So I think it just goes to show that given that the highest court of the land has banned this and it's still happening, then I think the most we can do is actually raise awareness about it and point out that this is wrong and needs to stop. Like,
say, what can you do?
And again, the whole disproportionately affecting Muslims as well, I think you'll find a lot of people, like a lot of patriotic Indians, that will point out like, oh no, like regardless of partition, like inequality doesn't exist in India, like it's all fine, like anything that happens is like instigated by lone warriors, or like it's just a one-off. Clearly this is a systemic thing, like
not just one single lone warrior can get access to a bulldozer.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that there's so many instances of bulldozers, literally bulldozing people's homes down.
What, 3 decades of it?
3 decades of it. And also the fact it's escalated since 2020. Like, democracy is meant to be progressing, not regressing.
But this does really remind me of the desecration of that mosque that we spoke about. I think it was last year or maybe the year before. And then how you had like these like right-wing groups that came and then incited violence in the Muslim communities nearby and stuff like that, and how it turned into like a whole like civil issue.
But it was seen as a success. It was seen as a positive thing by many people because it was like, oh, the Hindu temple is on this holy land has been erected. So in some ways, I think this is even more like in plain sight, though. It's like it's literal people's homes. You know what I mean? Like that they're living in right now. And they're getting bulldozed. As this like clip ends saying, while the Supreme Court's 2024 ruling established new guidelines for demolitions, the events in Gujarat suggest that the enforcement of these rules remain a challenge. But again, it's like, it's the Supreme Court is ruling this, yet in areas largely governed by the ruling party of India are ignoring it. Like, when it's saying about struggling to enforce it, but it's like, what more can you do? Like, if anything, they should be the ones to be enforcing it.
This is why Indian and American politics, the way they both play out in real life, do kind of draw parallel to me sometimes. Because you do have a lot of this like lone warrior things and people with their own agenda, and like groups of very like ignited, fiery people with their agenda then coming in and like basically doing whatever they want, usually getting off quite lightly or without consequence. And you do see that in America. And then you do see like the government stepping in and prohibiting it or putting something in place to stop it from happening in future. But what happens to what's already happened now? And how is it being enforced? And it's always just like, this law is hard to enforce, or like, you know, it depends on the state's policy and the government's policy and whatever. Like, it's just, everything's just hard. Everything's always hard to enforce.
Or even in this plain sight, like how Trump's just gone and pardoned all of the people involved in the Capitol riots. Yeah. I suppose that's one positive thing maybe about the UK, is that I think we did see that, for example, when there was the riots back in August of last year, at least people, I think, largely were held accountable.
At least there was punishment, yeah.
Yeah, although having said that, there was also people who were acting in self-defense against the rioters that were also imprisoned. So, again, it's not that great.
But I do think it is just the difference between having a smaller, more united and more governable country that's not like separate constituents, but compared to these bigger countries where you have like such a different mix of cultures, people, languages, religions and everything. Not that the UK isn't that, but then also with the like borders within that.
I think with India as well, I think the thing there is that they ultimately, the population is massive to the extent that I think those in power have people at their dispense, essentially. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of the people that will be committing this communal violence are, I don't think they're going to be, like, upper-class Hindus. I think a lot of them are going to be, like, probably of the lower classes, but they're still got these mentalities, and I think those in power kind of see that, and they're like, well, they're basically doing it for us. Like,
that,
we're not
to me,
gonna,
is what gives America. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true. I suppose if you think about the perception of, like, a number of people from the south, per se, like in these rural areas, who...
it's not exactly like it's upper class people, like the elite class of people that are like getting up in arms about things and like rioting and taking to the streets. It's like the average person or the working class person.
Different sides of the same coin. Have you got anything positive to round it off with?
I could talk about The Weeknd's album.
You already did that.
Duolingo died.
What do you mean it died?
The Duolingo owl died. And it's got something to do with Kendrick Lamar Drake beef. Something to do with the owl and then the Drake owl.
What?
Really unclear on it, but I did just see it on Instagram a couple of hours ago.
Wait, oh my, wait. I literally saw this, but I thought it was just... Let me read this out. It is with heavy hearts that we inform you that Duo, formerly known as the Duolingo Owl, is dead. Authorities are currently investigating his cause of death, and we are cooperating fully. To be honest, he probably died waiting for you to do your lesson, but what do we know? We're aware he had many enemies, but we kindly ask that you refrain from sharing why you hate him in the comments. If you feel inclined to share, please also include your credit card number so we can automatically sign you up for Duolingo Max in his memory. We appreciate you respecting Dua Lipa's privacy at this time. The internet's just...
I just don't really understand what this has to do with Drake.
Who said it had anything to do with Drake?
They did. In the comments, someone was like, what is going on? And they were like, it was something along the lines of, let's just say it involves a Canadian rapper. And obviously, like, because OVO is an owl, I think it's like owl v owl beef.
Duolingo jumped shit before the allegations about him came out.
Damn.
On a positive note, though, I mean, I've just passed mine and you're due to pass yours. 500-day streak.
I think I'm on 491.
Happy times. Speaking of Spanish, I've been seeing a few clips from Montoya again.
Oh, God.
And let's just say the same stuff is happening. But worse.
Is the show still going on?
I think so.
Apparently, he cheated on her first.
We said this last week, but like, it depends. There's levels to... Remember I put my foot down and I was like, no, like, I think it's worse. But basically, he got a like lap dance. And she saw that, and then she went, and then she went and slept with someone.
But then again, it's all about context, which she didn't have. I support women's wrongs.
No, I'm sorry. Context of a lap dance.
Yeah, so she didn't know, like, that nothing happened after that.
Yeah, but you...
Which I don't even know.
Then go and get a lap dance. Don't go and, like, sleep with someone.
No, because, you know, women, like, if you take it one step down, they'll take it to hell.
Right, well, that's what she has been doing, because I've seen another clip, and let's just say...
They made up on the beach.
I thought that too, but I've seen another clip, and let's just say the sound effects are sound affecting.
I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
What's the program called? La Isla de Tentacion.
Tentaciones, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. How can I
I was going to say, you should watch it.
It would be you can, so
yeah,
good
you can
for
actually understand that, yeah.
That's like the immersive experience that I need.
All I know is that it's on Spain's version of Channel 5. It's like Telecinco.
Okay, I'm going to find it. Yeah. I'll tell you what I've learned.
I'm just going to continue watching it on Twitter.
Montoya, por favor.
As a final rounding thing off whilst we're talking about watching things, can I just use these final few minutes to just vent about what I am annoyed about, the fact that I'm going away next week?
What, are you going to miss Coronation Street or something?
My anchor's cousin decided to have their wedding the same week as EastEnders' 40th anniversary with a live episode and a live vote to decide the outcome of one of the storylines.
Do you know what? How fucking goddamn selfish of them. How goddamn selfish.
Why? My anchor's telling me to get a life, as if you are not annoyed as well. Yeah, but not on the radio.
How selfish, literally. Like, I can't believe they would do this.
I don't understand why you're being sarcastic. Like, there's a lot of storylines at play here.
What do you mean, me? Like, I've watched EastEnders.
Well, you should care about it. It's down the road for you.
Down the road. You think the South is just one, like, tiny little town, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm...
Well, I'm sorry. You can watch it at, like... 3 in the morning your time.
The two most important days, right, are the Wednesday and the Thursday, because the Wednesday is an hour long episode on the actual anniversary, 40th anniversary.
No.
20th, which is a Thursday, that's the half an hour episode that is live.
I thought you were saying the important days, like you were saying the two most important days of the wedding.
No, but that's what's annoying, because the two most important days of the wedding are on the Wednesday and Thursday as well.
Not the two most important days of EastEnders.
Both of them. It's not on. I don't think you understand, right? Basically.
Okay, so what you're telling me is that when I have to get married, I need to plan it around the EastEnders schedule.
Basically, I think that I am now feeling the way that many people felt when my wedding day was on the same day as
City
the football final.
Man United final.
Yeah, Derby, yeah. And Wembley, yeah. I suppose it's karma now that I think about it.
That's actually, yeah, to be honest.
Yeah. Right. Signing off now. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.